Firstly, let's see what actually happened as recorded in the passage I read earlier from Exodus. As we hear daily of the Russian invasion of the people in Ukraine, it's not dissimilar to our reading in which the Amalekites struck at the Israelites, attacking the feeble while they were faint and weary, as it says in Deuteronomy 25, verse 18. The Amalekites' disregard of God and their attack on his people brought them under the judgment of God. Russia, beware. Joshua, meaning Jehovah is salvation, was instructed by Moses to take some men to defend God's people, while he, that is Moses, would go up to the top of a hill with the rod of God, and when he held up his arms with the rod held high, Israel would prevail. But should he become weary and let his arms no longer be held high, the military initiative would pass to the Amalekites. Moses took with him Aaron and Hur, and they watched for any sign of tiredness in Moses, at which sign they placed a stone for him to sit on, and then with Aaron on one side of Moses and Hur on the other side, they held the arms of Moses high until the light faded at sunset. And the faithfulness of Aaron and Hur assisted Moses praying and sending a signal to Joshua that God was with them, and in that confidence Joshua mowed down with the sword the enemy of God, the Amalekites. The rod of God, which Moses had used in other circumstances, like the parting of the sea in the exodus of the children of Israel from captivity, was clearly a sign to those in battle that God was hearing and answering prayer. Two men, Aaron and Hur, assisted Moses, and together they enabled the Israelites to prevail in battle. We read how prayer brings victory. When God's people unite in prayer, Satan is defeated. Moses built an altar to commemorate the victory and called it Jehovah Nissi, meaning the Lord is my banner. This was to be a sign that the Amalekites had dared to put their hand upon the banner of the Lord, and for that they would come under God's judgment until they were totally destroyed. Attacking God's people, such an enemy inevitably meant continual warfare with God's people, and any nation or individual who deliberately ignores or seeks to oppose God will eventually be defeated if God's people are united in prayer for one another. Now, the human side of us might think if God could change the advantage of the battle to be in favour of his people and back again to the Amalekites on the signal given by Moses, he could surely do that without someone standing on a hill with his arms held high. And if you or I were in Moses' position and we felt God saying to us, I want you to go to the hilltop to let Joshua's army see you holding up your arms with my rod. He'll know his army has the advantage, and I'm relying on you to do that because my people are depending on you. Otherwise, my people are going to be wiped out. How many of us would reply something like, now, let me get this straight. I'm to go to the top of a hill in direct sight of the enemy. I'm to stand there, making myself even more visible by holding up my arms, albeit with your rod. But not to worry, it will be a sign to your people. Forgive me, God, for saying, but that sounds a bit far-fetched, and the people with Joshua haven't exactly been too willing to follow my instructions previously, as I recall. It all sounds a bit of an unlikely plan to me. Sometimes that human side of us robs us of the miracles God would work for us and through us. For instance, have we sometimes felt that God has laid upon our hearts someone who isn't a Christian, who perhaps even is not averse to defaming or ridiculing the name of God's precious Son, Jesus? And God lays it on us that we should approach that person and tell them that God has placed them on our hearts because he has a plan and only they can fulfill it. And we are to share the gospel with them. Perhaps we have shied away from doing that because, frankly, it just seems unlikely that God, with all the people in the world from whom he could choose, that he's choosing someone like you or me. And even if we accepted such a role, would God really expect us to believe that person's whole family might see the person's accepting the gospel of salvation, and they would also come to know Jesus, increasing God's family? And that one family would do what we have done and share the gospel with similar results. But God provides not two or three others to prayerfully support us while we are doing his will by being involved in the challenge of leading that person to Christ, who by his very speech has declared himself or herself to be the enemy of God. It could, of course, be that we might be one of those God is mandating to support others, holding them up in prayer while they are being engaged in a battle for him and who desperately need our prayerful support. We might read of Moses having the future of the children of Israel by virtue of his upheld arms and wonder why God would work in that way. Or indeed, what God is asking of us might equally be unlikely. But God's ways are not our ways. I wonder if I could ask you if you would accept a challenge. Lift up your hands to God and accept what he places on your heart and in your mind, what he wants you to do for him. Even if it is as unlikely as the task he gave to Moses, that was undoubtedly a miracle. Dear friends, uplift your arms to God and claim the miraculous task and victory that he gives you.